In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, let us unite our hearts in opening prayer and thanksgiving. Our dear Heavenly Father, we approach you this morning begging of thee, dear Father, simply to increase our faith and to preserve us here in the place of a child. And dear Father, grant unto us power and strength to endeavor here on this way to heaven, battling against that threefold enemy which so often encircles us so completely. Our sin-corrupt flesh that we battle against, and the evil and a deceiving world which surrounds us so completely. And the tempter himself, the enemy of the soul, which so oftentimes finds ways to get in, to cause distress and burden, pain and sin. Dear Heavenly Father, we, as your psalm writer, beheld your goodness and mercy as being so great, and as he exhorted the angels of heaven and us and all creation to give praise unto thee. For, dear Father, there is not a place in the bowels of the earth or the vastness of heaven into which your power cannot reach unto us, and thy loving arms as to encircle us. Dear Father, this is a secure feeling. Dear Father, mighty, powerful, omnipotent Creator that thou art, our dear Heavenly Father, we thank thee, dear Father, for all thy gifts. And we ask this morning, dear Father, that wherever thy word is heard this day, open thy word unto us, feed and nourish us, and grant us that reassurance and blessing that we so sorely need. And we say in Jesus' name, Amen. On our church calendar, those of you who may have looked there this morning, the theme for this Sunday speaks on to us of our Lord Jesus, who is our healer. And I thought I'd read for this day one of the psalm texts that has been set aside. And it's from the 146th Psalm, beginning from its fifth verse onward. And these words are in Jesus' name as follow. Happy is he that hath God, happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, which made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that therein is, and which keepeth truth forever, which executeth judgment for the oppressed, which giveth food to the hungry. The Lord looseth the prisoners. The Lord openeth the eyes of the blind. The Lord raiseth them that are bowed down. And the Lord loveth the righteous. The Lord preserveth the strangers. He relieveth the fatherless and the widow. But the way of the wicked he turneth inside down, or upside down. The Lord shall reign forever, even thy God, O Zion, unto all generations. Praise ye the Lord. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters, just this last week I was writing an article for the local paper, and the picture came into my mind before I began writing. Of what it was like some 2,000 years ago when Jesus first came preaching the gospel of the kingdom, reassuring the wretched refuse, the tormented sinners, that there is grace that is offered unto you. And that all you need to do is to repent and believe the gospel. The picture that came into my mind was what it must have been like. Because throughout all those days and weeks and months that Jesus preached the gospel message, I dare say that a day didn't pass that there weren't great multitudes that surrounded Him, praising God and thanking God as He cured the people of their diseases and ailments and torments, both temporally making the blind to see, even as we heard here the psalm writer, the Lord openeth the eyes of the blind. He did that in a temporal way, but much more important, He opened unto them the eyes of living faith, and they were able to see the light of God's kingdom. They were able to see the light of the Lord Jesus standing there before them. And how it must have been such a joyous and jubilant time. Mothers and fathers and children praising God. Those that had been cured of their ailments, temporal and spiritual, praising God for what He had done unto them. Indeed, the Bible does remind us and gives unto us a picture of those days. And I'm going to read from the beginning of Matthew when Jesus first begun this work that God had sent Him to do, the work of salvation. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And His fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto Him all sick people that were taken with diverse diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy. And he healed them. And there followed Him great multitudes of people from Galilee and from Decapolis and from Jerusalem and from Judea and from beyond Jordan. And yet, we here in Cokato have experienced also that joy and jubilance that God grants unto us. Many have experienced in their own homes and here in God's kingdom when a lost one has found his way home here to God's kingdom, to the children of God, the brothers and sisters in faith, and unto our Heavenly Father. The Bible says that when one receives the grace of repentance, the angels in heaven rejoice. There have been those times here in Cocado in past where there have been a great times of awakening. One of those times was when God's Word was being preached in the English language for the first time here in Cocado. And there were throngs of young who received the grace of repentance here. And as the speaker brothers would go to the place of their residence or where they're staying for the evening, the services would continue there in the home. And people would come for one reason, to hear what God has to say unto them. They came tormented and distressed, and they left jubilant and rejoicing and joyful, for unto them God had granted that grace that they could believe. And their eyes were open from blindness of unbelief, and they could see the beauty of God's kingdom and the beauty of His children here. These times of visitation have happened throughout the world. I spoke to one Sunday school class this morning, very briefly, there in Africa when the grace of repentance and the gospel first approached there, and they begged to hear this gospel that their sins are forgiven. And then as they were able to, as God blessed them with resources and they were able to build their first church there, in dark, deep, dark Africa. And do you know what they named their church? They named their church the Church of the Forgiveness of Sins. And people would walk by and they'd notice the Church of the Forgiveness of Sins. And they would pause in their footsteps and in their life and ponder. And many, many have received the grace of repentance. There in Ecuador, it was so comforting to be there in the midst of the believers that are there, and how simply they believed, and how dearly they wanted to hear the gospel, and how they pleaded and prayed that that more speaker brothers could be sent there. Yes, there is joy and jubilance in God's kingdom. The psalm writer here begins in this text, "Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help." How has it been with you, beloved youth? Dear brothers and sisters in living faith, has there been a plea and a cry to God to help? Yes. I dare say that there's not one here who hasn't had that plea to God. Perhaps it may be in the midst of temporal trial and difficulty of life. Certainly it has been from the distress and the torment that the enemy of the soul has brought that plea has arisen to God. That same plea that the psalm writer pleaded, "Dear God, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." We have experienced the weariness and the weight of the burden when sin has attached, made the way and the journey difficult and slow. It has not been easy to be joyful and to thank God for this gift of living faith. Indeed, the Bible promises us, dear brother and sister, that even there from the depths of hell, the loving, embracing arms reach down to lift and to carry. King David wrote of this and of his experiences when he fell into those sins of unbelief. And he rejoiced that the loving arms of God came there into the depths of hell to restore unto him the joy of his salvation. It is so miraculous that God prepared the way of salvation in such a simple way. It is not of this portion that we carry. It's not of our wisdom. It's not of our merit, but solely by the grace of God that we are here this morning on this beautiful day. This day of manifold blessings that God has granted unto you. And yes, there may be even here in our midst one who is in the midst of trial and difficulty of life. One who is carrying distress and sin. A dear loved one, our Heavenly Father has not forgotten you. He has promised that I will never forsake you. I will never leave thee. But I will lift and I will carry. I read an article just recently on humility, humbleness, and how important that is in a life of a child of God. Indeed, humility, that's the main aspect of the fear of God, that we would have humility before Him, that we would humble ourselves before Him. The Bible speaks much of a proud person and the dangers of proudness. When one is proud, one is self-centered. One looks only upon the gifts that he has and looks down upon the gifts of others. But one who has humility and the humble heart of a child of God, he does not belittle the gift that God has given him. No, but he understands how much more he needs the gifts of the children of God to carry. We have such a wonderful Heavenly Father. And He has prepared the way of salvation in such a simple way. I remember, I never knew him, but there was someone here who personally knew this speaker brother in Finland, who was a very gifted, speaker brother. Indeed, he had what was called a photographic memory. He had memorized word for word the entire Bible. He could begin with the first book of Moses and begin reading and end with the final chapter of Revelations without opening the Holy Scriptures. And he would memorize what speaker brothers have related when the Word has opened onto them, and that stuck with him, and yet the enemy of the soul was able to creep into his heart, and he began to look at his gifts that I have wonderful gifts. And he did. But humility then was forgotten, and the humbleness of the heart of a child. And even though he had memorized the Holy Bible word for word, indeed when he preached, he would open the Bible and read the text, and then he would close the Bible. and he would not open it again during that sermon. And he would go into portions of the Bible here and portions of the Bible there, and he would read word for word what the Holy Bible said. But the enemy of the soul had caused him to become proud of the gift that God had given him. And he fell into unbelief. Thank God that He hasn't given us such gifts, such powerful gifts. But thank God that He has given you the gift that you have, because we need that gift that God has given you. And that is why, dear brothers and sisters, oftentimes when trial and affliction besets us, God takes us and He places us into the midst of His kingdom. And the children of God encircle Him. And wherever He turns, there is comfort and uplifting. There is an embracing arm of our Heavenly Father constantly with. This is the kind of Heavenly Father we have. And thank God that He has chosen you to be His child. Today is our first day of Sunday school. Dear mothers and fathers, it is very important for you there at home, as you teach your children, to remind them of their lessons here at Sunday school, to encourage them and to see that they do their lessons and their memory work. It is so important. Because we will need the gifts of those children and those youth to carry us. I was thinking this month, well, it was last month, how here in our little flock we've had those wonders that have been born into this wondrous world of wonders that God has gifted unto us, those newborn babies. There have been baptisms. There has been confirmation, Sunday school. There have been weddings. And there have been a funeral. How the circle of life, which begins and ends, I ask the question, what is the purpose of our life? Yes, we have our temporal calling and duty that we do here. And we try to do good unto society and to help. But what is the main purpose of our life? What is the main purpose of that gift that God has given you? Is it not to encourage one another, to love one another, to help one another and preach the gospel? Isn't this the purpose of life? Because we are only here on a short journey in this circle of life. And one day this life ends, some sooner, some later, but unto all one day. And then eternity begins. Does it not pay, dear brother and sister, to cling to this gift that God has given unto you, to cling to this gospel, to beg for this gospel, and to freely preach the gospel one to another? Is not this our purpose? I told the Sunday school children this morning, I dare say that this Sunday school here is more important than your temporal school. Is it not, dear brothers and sisters? Here to gather around the feet of Jesus, to hear what He has to say unto us, to be encouraged and uplifted, to be taught and to be reminded again and again. Today we have Holy Communion here in this assembly, where indeed we gather before the feet of Jesus, and He grants unto us of His body and His blood to uplift and to strengthen our faith. When we read the communion rites, we are reminded each month that with Peter I would weep over my sins. With the woman which was a sinner I would love thee with all my heart. And together with the thief on the cross, I could see thy holy face in heaven forever. Isn't this the purpose of life? Peter, in that upper chamber, when Christ spoke unto him and He says, Simon, Simon, I have to say unto you, Satan has a desire to have you, that he may sift you like wheat. But when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. In that upper chamber, they were arguing among themselves which of them is the greatest. They pledged and promised Jesus that I will go to prison and even unto death for thee. And that night, they all fled. Peter was there warming his hands around those fires that were there in that lower courtyard. It was a cold evening. Was there in the midst of those unbelievers there warming his hands, and one thought he recognized him and he denied, I know not the Lord. And again another, and he cursed and he said, I know not, I am not. And the third time he cursed and denied. And then the cock crow. And he remembered what Jesus had told him there in that upper chamber. And at that moment he looked up and Jesus was there on that higher courtyard. And at that moment Jesus looked down upon him. But it was a gaze of love and grace and forgiveness. And then the Bible says, and Peter went out into the night and he wept. He wept bitterly there. Because he had denied the giver of life. He had denied living faith. And yet, those loving arms of our Heavenly Father extended unto Peter, and he received the grace of forgiveness. That sinful woman who came into the house of Simon the Pharisee. Simon had invited Jesus for a meal. There were others there in that room. And this woman, she slipped in through the doorway. She had heard that the Lord is there. She was an unbelieving woman. She was a known sinner. Indeed, her life was such that people knew what she was and what she did. And she came and stood behind Jesus, and she was weeping, and the tears fell onto the feet of Jesus, And she'd bow down before Jesus and with her tears begin to wash His feet and with her hair to dry and then put the ointment on. And Simon sat there and he thought, he didn't say anything, he thought, this man thinks he's a prophet. And this sinful woman is now there before Him. And Jesus looked at Simon and those in the room and He said, Simon, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto you. And He began to tell him that if someone owned, and I don't remember the detail on that, I'd have to look it up, but if somebody owned someone 50 pence and somebody owned 500 pence and He forgave them, which one would love Him more? And Simon said, I suppose he that whom had been forgiven more. And He reminded Simon, this woman whose sins are many loveth much. And He looked on that sinful woman and He said, thy sins are forgiven unto you. Thy faith has saved thee. I assume that she was a harlot, a prostitute. A marked woman that was known to be a sinner. She was in torment and distress. And the Lord Jesus forgave her sins, which were many. The thief on the cross, he saw what was happening. He heard the prayer of the Lord, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Somewhere his eyes were opened and he knew there beside him was the Lord of life, the King of kings, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. And oh, how timidly he begged of Jesus, Lord, remember me. And Jesus granted unto him the grace of repentance there few moments before his life ended. And He told him, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. I ask, beloved youth, dear brothers and sisters, mothers and fathers, does it pay to believe? Oh. Yes, yes, it pays to believe. We can again and again come to this place, this throne of grace, that is there right before us. The writer unto the Hebrews says in this way that let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Yes, boldly come here. All you need to do is ask a brother and a sister. That throne of grace is there with them. Dear brothers and sisters, it pays to believe. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all that therein is, which keepeth the truth forever. Yes, as one of the Sunday school teachers taught even this morning, Jesus Christ is the same today, yesterday, and forever. Which executed the judgment for the oppressed. Even this, what is the judgment that God has on you, dear sinner, here in God's kingdom? What is the judgment that God has on those unbelieving sinners on judgment day. Here in God's kingdom, the judgment unto a sinner is this. You can believe all your sins and doubts forgiven in Jesus' name and precious blood. And this is where we desire to dwell. And this is where we want to close our eyes for the final time, so that we can open them when the Lord comes to gather His own on that last day. Yes, God has given many gifts unto us, unto every one of you. Use the gifts that God has given to help and to heal. Many times when we begin to use our temporal gifts, the gifts of wisdom and reason of this temporal life, and if we begin to look at the matters of living faith through the eyes of reason, and reason begins to echo down the canyons of our mind, it destroys hope. That is why Jesus so oftentimes picked up a little child and used that child as an example here of the partakers of the kingdom of God. And He says, of such is the kingdom of God. A reminder unto us how important it is to remain humble and to look through the eyes of living faith. And to simply believe. The way of salvation that God has prepared unto us is not complex. The simplicity of it is so incredible. And that is why so many stumble and become such an obstacle unto so many. When Jesus told that woman, "Thy sins are forgiven," there were those in that room who said, "Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Today there is, in our neighborhoods and in our towns, those that hear you preach the gospel and they wonder, "Who can forgive sins but Christ alone?" But dear brother and sister, you are messengers of Christ. He has gave you the commission to preach the gospel. When the apostle was preaching there, I forget what town he was in, but he said in this way unto them, "Be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man Jesus is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins." Yes, we are here in the church of the forgiveness of sins. And so we desire to remain believing in the place of a child. Believe all your sins and doubts forgiven in Jesus' name and precious blood. And be of good comfort and be joyful even in the midst of trial and difficulty. God sees and He hears and He has promised, "I will lift and I will carry." This is the kind of loving Heavenly Father we have. And I also need to hear this gospel for my many lackings and sins and doubts, that could I believe these forgiven. I desire to believe with you. And we must remember one another and carry one another. I reminded the Sunday school children about that teaching of Christ, which is called the Golden Rule. Do unto others as you'd want them to do unto you. Remember that and endeavor to do that here, because we need that gift that God has given you. And so we say in Jesus' name, Amen. The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make His face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift up His countenance upon them and give them peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.